I'm glad that you came back tonight. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I appreciate that. I really do. Look forward to seeing you. And it's a blessing when I'm able to come here and see you sitting there. And I personally know some things that you're going through in your family or maybe in your life or physically or spiritually or emotionally. And I know sometimes it's difficult for you to come back, but yet you do your best to come back. That means something to me as your pastor. And it doesn't go unnoticed. So I appreciate you tonight. What I would like for you to do is please take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs chapter 21, and we're just going to look at one verse tonight, but it will be enough. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 17. I want to dovetail off of that message I preached this morning. Some of you are saying, man, I thought we were finished with that subject. Well, not quite. I want you to stand and turn to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 17. I was praying about what to preach earlier this week, and this message came to my mind, and I pulled one out of the archives. I actually preached this message back in Red Level, Alabama, and I looked on the thing there, and I preached it back in 2012. And I'm resurrected here tonight. But you folks probably haven't heard it. But it goes right along, and it's a thought that I want to convey to you about what we preached on this morning. Now, if you were here this morning, remember, we're still in our series of the Church in the Last Day. And this morning I preached my next message entitled Ruined by Recreation. If you were here, you remember that. And we preached on the fact that the Bible says that the closer you get to the return of Christ, that people are going to become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And I said the problem isn't that we enjoy pleasure that's not sinful. The problem is we begin to enjoy that pleasure more than God. We begin to love that pleasure. We begin to love the pleasure more than the one that gives us the pleasure. And then it takes up a place in our heart and it becomes an idol. Then it does become sinful. Then pretty soon we don't have the pleasure. The pleasure has us. We don't control it. It controls us. And that's where we get into a lot of trouble. Well, tonight I'm going to continue in that thought, and hopefully this will be a help to you. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 17. The Bible says, he that loveth pleasure. There's that word again. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. I want to preach to you just for a few minutes tonight on this thought. Poor pleasure seekers. Poor pleasure seekers. Brother Ben, would you pray for this message and everybody can be seated. Yes. Yes. Please.
I pray that just for a little while we'll block out what's going on.
Yes. 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 Yes, Lord.
And your church is like this, appreciate your work.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for each family that's represented here, God.
Yes.
So you continue to bless and know this throughout this week. Give us courage.
Yes.
You. I ask all these things in your name. Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. All right, you can be seated. Now, the wisest and maybe one of the richest, was the richest man at this time, but definitely the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, you just heard what he said if you just read this text. He said that a man that loves pleasure, that man is going to be a poor man. He goes on, he says, a man that loves liquor and loves food is not going to be rich. Amen. If some of you fool around with liquor and some of you say, well, I'm a teetotaler, I don't fool with him. Well, do you love food? Quickly, let's move on. But he says you're not going to be rich. I want you to think again, we're going to go back a little bit to this morning, but not too much. I want you to think about how much money we as Christians spend on eating out. And hopefully you're not spending it on alcohol, but people do. And other things. And again, I don't have a problem. I don't believe God has a problem with us experiencing pleasure. But we're not to love pleasure. Listen, we ought to love pleasing God and like pleasing ourselves. Or maybe we should love pleasing God and like pleasing others. Forget about ourselves. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 1, the same wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth, outside of Jesus Christ, of course, he said this. He said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. You have never met a man that had it all like Solomon did. Solomon had all the women. He had all the liquor. He had all the wealth. He had all the brains. He had all the power. He had everything. And you know what you do there? You know what he continually says about that when you read about his experience in life over there in the book of Ecclesiastes? And listen, this man can say it because this man had the best and was the best in every area. He said, vanity, vanity, it's all vanity. It's nothing. The wisest man that ever lived said, you can have everything in the world, but at the end of the day, it'll be nothing. You'll be a poor pleasure seeker. Now listen, if you are a person who has no discipline and are focused just on pleasing yourself because that's easy to do and enjoyable, you're going to be poor. Listen to me. You're going to be poor in many ways. And I'm not trying to do this Joyce Myers, Benny Hinn stuff tonight, but I'm just going to speak very honestly with you. You're going to be poor in many ways if you are a pleasure seeker. And I'm going to give you 7 ways that you're going to be poor if you are a pleasure seeker. And the last way I want to talk to you will be the most detrimental way you'll be poor and the most damaging way. But I want to give you 7 ways that you're going to be poor. You're going to be a poor pleasure seeker if that's what you do. That's all you do. You just seek pleasure. I'm addicted to pleasure. Remember, we talked about that this morning. I cannot stand the thought of not having something to entertain me. I can't stand the thought of not being able to eat what I want and go where I want and do what I want. And don't care what my credit card bill is. Don't care what anybody, I don't care if I zone out everybody else or abuse anybody else. You can just get so selfish with wanting to have pleasures in your life. You don't worry about the consequences. I've seen millions of Americans that are like that now. And it's not just people outside of the church. It's people inside the church. And we have to be careful as God's people. God doesn't want us seeking pleasure. He wants us to seek Him and let Him give us the pleasure. There's nothing wrong. Remember what I said this morning? Nothing wrong with good pleasures and spending money on things and enjoy yourself and all that. Go on vacation. I don't care. Listen, I plan on going on vacation this summer myself. I hope you do get to go. You go on vacation every week? Poor pleasure seekers. Here we go. Number 1. If you are a pleasure seeker, you're going to be poor financially. Amen. Well, Gloria, it's still true, huh? If you are a pleasure seeker, you will be poor financially. You won't save money. You won't have money. You won't be able to pay your bills. However, you'll be able to spend it on stuff that you don't have to have. Four-wheelers tear up. Listen. Here's a problem with young people. Let's just preach on it now. I may just take my tie off so I can get more air. I've been singing them. My breath is gone, Tim, Brother Tim. You know what's wrong with these young men? These young men nowadays get about 20 and 25 years old. And they want to have what Pawpaw has. I said, well, Pawpaw's got a new Ford truck, so I ought to have one. Pawpaw's got lives in a nice brick home, and he's got it paid off. Why am I in a single-wide trailer? Listen, you little snot-nosed punk. Pawpaw's worked all his life. He can drive a new Ford now. When he was your age, he barely had a truck. That's what's wrong with everybody. You don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to have to go through the stages of promotion and just be faithful in this and a little bit at a time. These young folks think they're entitled to have it now. Have it now. I want it now. Listen, parents, the very worst thing you can do is to buy your youngin' a brand new vehicle. Make them drive an old clunker that embarrasses them when they go to school. I know the teenagers in here won't even look at me. It's okay. I'm really saying this because I love you. You know, all the vehicles, when I got the first vehicle I got, I was 17. I didn't have one until I was 17 because I bought my truck working with my own money. I bought my other car. I bought that stuff. If I wanted to have it, I had to go work and pay for it. My parents couldn't afford it. Now, if your parents can afford it, that's fine. But the problem is, People don't want to sacrifice. They want it now. I want it now. I want it now. I want it all. You're going to be poor. You're going to be poor. Because, listen, if you don't know how to deny yourself, you're never going to have anything. When me and my wife first got married, she cooked them old frozen chicken nuggets that tasted like you was eating cardboard warmed up. And warmed them up in the microwave. When we first got married, her daddy said, she can marry me. He said, you got to make me one promise. He said, I'll pay for her school, but I want her to finish college because she still had another year of college. I said, yes, you will do that. So she was still going to school. She was having to drive there, and I was pastoring my first church, and we didn't have any money. There were several times we ate spaghetti with no meat. I reckon technically that's spaghetti and meatballs. So I did just eat spaghetti because it was just noodles and sauce on it. No meat. Now, spaghetti's bad enough with meat. But spaghetti without meat. You say, what is that? Listen, man, listen. When you don't have anything, you don't go out there and say, okay, we're poor, we don't have much money, but I want pizza tonight. I love pizza. We're going to go order a pizza. Me and my wife never did that. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because you folks think, have it now, worry about how to pay for it later. You're never going to have nothing like that. Guess what? If you are at a stage in your life where you have to cook at home, you better learn how to cook. Even if it's stinking chicken McNuggets or whatever that, I don't know if that was chicken or what that was. Warmed up in the microwave. My wife was still learning how to cook. I didn't marry her for her culinary skills. She's turned into a pretty good cook, as you can tell. You don't get the nickname Heavy Bishop for nothing. You want to be poor? How many of you want to, just, you know, like I said, this ain't no Benny Hinn stuff now. Just because you do right with your money don't mean you're going to be rich, okay? But I can guarantee you one thing. You're going to be poor financially if all you're thinking is, I want it, I'm going to do it. I want it, I'm going to get it. I want it, I don't care, I don't care. I want to do this right now. I'm stressed out. I got to get away. Okay, you got enough money to make your car payment, enough money to pay your house payment, and maybe have $10 or $15 left over. Yeah, but I got to get away. You can't get away. You don't have the money. I got to get away now. All right, put another couple of $1,000 on your credit card and just keep charging it up and charging it up because I gotta have this and got to have that. And listen, they'll get a hold of you. You'll never get out of debt. You know what that is? I'm a pleasure seeker. I've got to have fun. I'm entitled to have fun. No, you're entitled to pay your bills. You are a pleasure seeker. You'll never have nothing. Think about that song come out in the 80s, that rock song. Everybody's working for the weekend. Are you working for the weekend so you can blow everything you've worked for all week? You see, folks, that never heard that song? I'm pastoring all these angels up here. Listen, man, you can't get everything you want and have something. How many of you know that? Now, I don't have the training Brother Sonny does with the Dave Reese Financial School. But I can tell you one thing for a fact. I don't have to go to that school to know. You can't have things in the future if you give it up right now. If you are a pleasure seeker, you're going to be poor financially. Now, you may not be a pleasure seeker, and you may never have much money anyway. That's all right, but don't make yourself poor because you're just wasting it all on yourself. Number two, you're going to be poor physically. You're a pleasure seeker, you're going to be poor physically. People that are not disciplined and do like I do sometimes, you're going to eat bad. You know what I've had to do? You know, the most money we give out of paying our regular bills and trying to do something for the Lord with it, the most money we pay probably is on my bills, on my medical bills. You say, why is that? Well, you don't get the nickname Heavy Bishop for nothing. Everybody all right? Why is everybody to amen you and preachers to shout you down and you get on the folks for smoking cigarettes and get on the folks for whatever they wear and whatever they do and then they cut their hair and ain't long enough and blah, blah, blah. And the fella preaching is 75 pounds overweight. Don't you think that's a little hypocritical? I'm not going to not preach on something just because I'm struggling with it. Amen. And then jump on you like you're lesser spiritual than me. And jump on you about some kind of conviction I got that's not in the Bible while I ignore or either just make light of and make fun of something I'm guilty of that is in the Bible. What is that? That's independent fundamental Baptist preachers. Amen. Now let me tell you something. Physically, you're going to be poor. You're going to be poor if you're a pleasure seeker. You're going to be fat and lazy. Everybody still with me? Be laying up on the couch eating Doritos and renting movies. Why don't anybody amen this? Pleasure seeker. I don't feel like exercising. Well, one day you're going to want to exercise and you can. You're going to be all stoved up. I want more Doritos. I want to rent a movie. Well, you know what? We done rent 15 movies this week. I ain't read my Bible half the time. We really don't. I don't care if we don't have any money. We got to find some money. I want some pizza. I want a movie. I know you're having trouble paying your bills. You want the church to give you, to float you a loan or give you a love offering or something. But then you spend it all up in liquor and cigarettes. I don't hear anybody amening. Poor health. One time I spoke to a lady down there where I'm from. She was 105 years old in the assisted living. I spoke to her about, you know, why, how'd you make it this long? She thanked God for it. She said it was God and good eating. Now you look at me. You think a fella that has this girlish figure is going to live to be 105? You better think again. You're going to be poor physically. Number three, you're going to be poor emotionally if you're a pleasure seeker. Now, there's a lot of reasons for depression. We have anxiety. We have fears. We have things that happen to us. God knows I know that. I know that it runs in families. It runs in my family. It can be a chemical thing. It can be a spiritual thing. There's all kind of reasons for depression. I absolutely, completely understand that. But I will also tell you that some people are depressed and just down because they're looking for the next best thing, and it's not going to come. Only Jesus can satisfy you. And people, listen, people are running around for another man or running around for another woman. You ever met those people? There's people I meet that they just don't think they can live without a woman. Don't think they can live without a man. From one man to the next, one woman to the next. And I like this lady, she said one time, she said, the preacher, the only thing worse than being alone is wishing you were alone. Got a witness out there. Now listen. You're going to be emotionally unwell, I promise you, if you're a pleasure seeker. Do you know why? I wrote this down. I want to say it to you word for word. Undisciplined people are emotionally unhappy people. I have found that in my ministry as I've dealt with Christians for many years. If I find somebody that's very undisciplined, they may not even be depressed. They may not be anxious, but they're usually not happy. Undisciplined people are very unhappy people. You know why? Because when you're undisciplined, you live to gratify yourself, and you have no boundaries, and you have nothing that you're going to suffer and wait out something and put in some work in it and wait for the results. It's just instant gratification. You know what that happens to a person when they're like that? All they can do is live for it. It's the next thing and the next thing, and it never satisfies. And you know what happens? 10 years of that goes into 20 years of that, goes into 30 years of that, goes into 40 years of that, and 50 years of that. And then you've got a person, by the time they get 65 or 70 years old, they are a mess. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Because they've had a lifetime of undisciplined behavior. How many of you know somebody like that? They're pleasure seekers. And it's just going to make you poor. Emotionally, you're going to be poor vocationally. You say, what do you mean? Well, you're not going to go up in the workforce. You may not even go to work. My daddy always told me, he said, boy, there's a difference between a lazy man and a sorry man. I said, what's that, daddy? He said, a sorry man won't go to work. He said, a lazy man will go to work, but when he gets there, he won't do anything. You won't go to work. Won't keep a job. I don't know how many people, they don't have any discipline. They'll stay out all night partying and then call in. We got this merit system that goes on in this country where, okay, you got two or three strikes, and if you call in here, you're 5 minutes late here, and you get a point here, you get docked here and whatever. Man, you ought to be in some of these other countries where they're standing in line just waiting for somebody to get fired so they can get in there. People are so undisciplined in this country. You know why? They're pleasure seekers. Well, I know I got to get to work tomorrow, but I got this hot date tonight, and so-and-so's coming over here with a liquor, and the game's coming on, and we're going to be out there partying at 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go to bed, but I'll be up at 6. Oh, I missed the alarm clock. I didn't even hear it go off. I'll call in. Used to, they just say, hey, man, don't come in. You can come in one more time, pick up your check, and don't come back. You know what used to, what you were supposed to do? You go to work. I don't care what you do in anything in life. You go to work, you start down at the bottom, and you work hard, and you get responsible, and you gradually, year after year, you get promoted, and you move your way up. That's how it's supposed to be. And the young people, they think, well, you know, I'll just start right now, and I want it now. And you don't move up, and they don't want to put in the time. They're very undisciplined. And vocationally, they're a wreck. Do you know that I know of a restaurant that was doing real good down there where me and my wife is from? Real good. And people loved it and they enjoyed it and shut the thing down. And we were like, what in the world, you shut it down? You know what they said? They said, we could not keep good help and shut it down. They couldn't find nobody that wanted to work. Well, I think minimum wage ought to be raised. I bet you do. I was a boy in the early 80s going out, and I'd pick a hamper of peas. We was picking these zipper peas and purple hull peas and all these kind of peas. I was picking these peas for a farmer, and he was selling them. You know what a hamper is, don't you? A hamper is a bushel. It's a bushel. Bushel of peas. About like a hamper like that. You ever seen that? I reckon I've seen them up here. I think you got them. But you know what he'd do? Now this is in the early 80s. I would get a dollar, sometimes $2, anywhere between $1 and $2 to pick a hamper of peas. That was my pay. So if you worked all day or half a day, if you could maybe pick 18 or 20 hampers of peas and get $20 at the most. Do you think any of these teenagers would do that now? I'm talking about down in South Alabama in July and August when it's 98 to 100 degrees outside and the heat index is 130. You say, why would you do that? Not because I had good character, because I was broke. But they're poor vocationally because you're pleasure seekers. You're going to be poor socially. Poor socially. You know, always thinking about your needs and your comforts. You know, your friends are going to get tired of that. You will be poor when it comes to friendships. Always a taker, never a giver. It's going to affect your marriage. It affects your work. It affects your church. You know what people will say about you? You're not a very good friend. Because you're a pleasure seeker. You ought to go into a friendship sometime, not to see what you can get out of it, but what you can give to it. People all the time, they'll call up or they'll say, now we're interested, we're looking for a church. We want to know what you have to offer. I've never done it. I try to, I'm nice and I'm sweet and all to them. But one day I'd like to say, well, bless the Lord on my soul, but Mr. Whoever you are on the other end, let me ask you, what have you got to offer? You ought to turn that thing around, Kennedy said. You ought to apply to a church. That's not what your church can do for you, but what can you do for your church? Everybody said, do you have a blue light special for the married? Do you have a blue light special for the unmarried? What about the kiddies? What about the adults? What about the seniors? What about the kids? Yes, I do. King James Bible preaching and teaching. That's what we got. Lots of it. Instead of a blue light special. You can fill the churches up with all that other junk. They're filling them up all over the place with that mess. But they're not churches. Just because you put a name of a church on the outside and have pews on the inside don't mean it's a house of God. Socially, people are just so selfish now. They're just so selfish. And you're going to be poor socially. Eventually the word will get around that you are a taker. You're never a giver. You're not going to have many friends. You're going to be poor academically. For some of you that are going to school or in school, you won't study. I don't know how many people I've dealt with that failed out of college, waste their mom and daddy's money partying. Parents, I'd give them one shot. I'd give them one shot. Now, here's an amazing thing. I was raised in a poor family, and me and both my sisters, there was three of us, and we all got college degrees, and our parents weren't able to help us. They helped us a little bit, but we had to go on scholarships, and we all had to work. We all had to work to do it. My parents didn't have any money. And actually, my oldest, both of my sisters are real smart. They did good in school. Not me. When I barely got, I graduated with just very average grades because I didn't do my homework half the time. I didn't go to school half the time. When I did do my homework, when I was a little kid, I did it on the bus. I had the best handwriting on the bus because I never opened a book. I never took any books home or anything like that. But when I got to college, it wasn't that I was dumb. I've always read. I like to read. I've always liked to read, but I didn't want to read textbooks. I couldn't stand it. I want to read what I want to read. But I didn't know how to study. So when I first got in college, it was like, okay, it's study time. Well, I don't know how to study. I've just always winged it. I've just got through there with just, I got enough sense to get through school without having to study. Well, in college, things are going to be a little bit different. And you know what? I was academically behind, and college was tough on me. Now, after I went through college and went back and did postgraduate stuff later, I had trained myself on how to study, and I understood that. But you know why I suffer? Because I was a pleasure seeker. Playing basketball, going hunting, hanging out with my friends, never opening a book. Lazy. There's all kinds of laziness. Folks say, well, I'll work hard. I don't mind working hard. Okay. That don't mean that you're a go-getter just because you're willing to work hard at something you like. Are you willing to work hard at something you don't like? That's the true test of character. I didn't have any character. Oh, yeah, I'd work hard at stuff I liked. I'd read books that I liked. I'd work and make money when I wanted it to do something I liked. But I didn't like school, so I didn't study. And it made me poor academically. I didn't know how to study. But the worst of all, absolutely the worst of all, if you are a pleasure seeker, not only are you going to be poor financially, physically, emotionally, vocationally, socially, academically, but the worst of all is you're going to be poor spiritually. By far. A man that loves pleasure is an undisciplined man. He will lack temperance and he will lack self-control. If you love pleasure, listen to me, you're going to be a poor Christian. If you love pleasure here tonight, you're going to be a poor Christian. If you love pleasure, you won't read your Bible like you're supposed to. And you can't grow if you don't read your Bible like you're supposed to, because sometimes it's not pleasurable to read your Bible. If you are a pleasure seeker, you won't pray like you're supposed to, because sometimes prayer is work. You won't fast when God wants you to, because you want to fill up your belly. You won't be faithful to church like you're supposed to, because sometimes it's difficult to get back to church. You won't give like you're supposed to because you won't be able to do the pleasures and have the pleasures that you want and give like God wants you to. You won't serve like He wants you to because you'll be wanting to do something that pleases and gratifies your flesh. You won't witness like you're supposed to. But listen, if you will enjoy and love pleasing God, listen to me, in return, you'll experience more pleasure. I have found that. I have found when being led by the Spirit of God and I'm able to put my flesh down and not give it what it wants and not give in to what it is craving and do the right thing in the long run, I always experience more pleasure. And it's more fulfilling pleasure and it's not sinful pleasure. And that's important. But if you love pleasing yourself more than God, listen to me, churches. We're going to get ready to close this tonight. You're going to be poor in every area of your life. And the worst part is, you're going to be poor spiritually. There's a preacher that preached a message some years ago entitled, "The Problem with Pleasure." And I wrote down a few statements that he made, and I want you to listen to this and listen very carefully tonight, and we'll get ready to close. He preached this message, "The Problem with Pleasure." And he said this, he said, "All pleasure, whether good or bad, must be kept in check and balance." That's a good statement, ain't it? He said, "The farther you get from true pleasure, the farther you get from God. The closer you get to true pleasure, the closer you get to God." True statement, but notice this, the third statement. He said this, he said, "False pleasure, the price is paid after you enjoy it." And then he said, "True pleasure, the price is paid before you enjoy it." In other words, with false pleasure, sinful pleasure, the fun is in the sowing, but the heartache is in the reaping. True pleasure, true fulfilling pleasure that God wants all of his children to have, godly pleasure, the pain is in the sowing and the pleasure is in the reaping. Now, aren't those three good statements that this man made? Do you want me to tell you who the man was that preached that so many years ago? He was probably, up until the day he died, the most well-known apologist in the world. A man by the name of Ravi Zacharias. How many of you have heard about what has befallen Ravi Zacharias here of late? The man that made all those statements about pleasure, pleasing yourself, how it will kill you, how true pleasure you get it after you paid for it. Yep. And he contrasted in those statements to bad pleasure. You know what that man did? They found out he had multiple relationships. He abused women in massage parlors all over the place. Had incriminating photos and texts and all that stuff of it. Just a big sloppy mess. Any of you heard that? You never heard that on Ravi Zacharias? Probably the most well-known apologist in the Christian movement. You know what happened, though, Ravi? The pleasure got him. He was preaching and standing up in front of people and warning them about what seeking pleasure is going to do. It's going to ruin you. And you know what's happened? That man's dead and gone now. And all over the internet and everything he's done for the cause of Christ in the last 20 or 30 years is tainted and ruined. Because he was a pleasure seeker. If you're a pleasure seeker, it's going to ruin you. It's going to strip you. It's going to put you in poverty. It's going to make you poor financially. Poor physically, socially, mentally, in the area that you work, vocationally, every area. But the worst of all, church, because you'll lack discipline, you're going to be a poor Christian. You're going to be a poor Christian because you cannot serve God and serve pleasure. In order to do something for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. God help us tonight with this very sobering message about being a poor, pleasure seeker. Why don't you seek God? Not pleasure. Seek God and let Him give you the right pleasure. And it'll end up the right way. Amen. All right. Every head bowed and eye closed.